woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Well, I hope I start to die. Sometime I'll admit Weber on the board. Mr. Jack Silverman, S&P futures up 550. A mixed market this morning. Dow futures down 36. NASDAQ futures up 21. We also have Lou Michaels back from the hinterlands. Are you going to be one of the first former lawyer on Mars when they go, Lou?
The way I feel right now, I probably would. I'd probably go to Mars. Yeah, I'd probably volunteer, even though it's a one way trip.
Why do you say one way? You don't count on Tesla to get you back?
No. They're not gonna be able to bring anybody back on at least on the stuff that Elon Musk is selling.
It's got to be the round trip's got to be what, year and a half, two.
It's at least 18 months, I think. But I mean, it's literally one of those things where you spend that much money to go, you're going to be there for a while, and you want, if you get there successfully. You want you want people there on the ground long enough to set up, you know, operations and everything else, so that when you launch the next group that takes 18 months to get there, or a year to get there, there's stuff up and running for them, so that you haven't wasted the trip or haven't taken full advantage of everything you could do on the trip.
It almost seems like you'd want to have a. I mean, I would anyway. If you could, you'd want to send a bunch of essentially cargo ships that could soft land in an area, so when people got there, there'd be something for them.
Oh, that's part of the plan. The if you look at the stuff that NASA was taking bids on, the winning Mars plan, I think, involved the drop of self-replicating machines. But autonomous machine modules that could assemble into various kinds of construction entities that would actually automatically start to build a habitat, with supplies and everything, but would build up, assemble up. I think the plan I saw had them assembling out of Martian soil domes out of concrete and putting these domes and tubes together. That when the people got there, they would then arrive and then inflate inside those concrete structures, plastic or sealable structures that would then hold air. So you got the concrete domes to protect from meteorite strikes and things like that, and then you've got these plastic things inside to seal in and hold air so that people could move around. And the idea was that you would. You know, people would arrive and basically have about 15 to 20 days of work where they would be living in the rocket ship or in the space capsule, and then they could actually move into something to set up housekeeping.
Are you of
it's a very long term plan?
Are you of the thought that there originally was Mars was somewhat habitable and something bad happened to it?
Yeah, the word habitable is questionable in terms of whether it would have developed life like we've got it, but I certainly believe there was liquid water on the surface, which means that there is very likely some kind of of organic life, at least. I think what happened to it is it's just, it didn't have enough gravity to hold enough atmosphere, and the water, the surface water anyway, boiled away, and then everything froze.
Yeah, I just wonder what happened to the atmosphere. I think it seems to me there must have been some at one point.
I think there definitely was. I mean, I think they've established that there was liquid water on the surface, and for liquid water to exist on the surface, there has to be enough atmosphere to keep it from freezing or boiling away.
What would cause you to lose your atmosphere?
Pardon me?
What would cause you to lose your atmosphere? An asteroid or
gravity? No, I mean, if there's not enough gravity to hold the atmosphere, it'll bleed off. And you know, the atmosphere would be caused initially by the kind of volcanic activity and tectonic activity, although I don't think Mars has tectonic plates, but volcanic activity that pumped it out here. But
okay.
there's not enough gravity to hold it, and so it dissipates. I mean, you know, we're talking a couple of billion years, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, yeah, we weren't around.
like I know it. Like I sound like a planetary geologist and environmentalist.
Lou, when you go to the places like you've gone, Air Force Academy and other places, you have knowledge you've picked up along the way that people want to hear. I certainly do. So it's just my job to pull it out of you, shall we say?
Well, the funny thing is that I actually I actually went to school with guys who. And are, you know, I'm close friends with guys who are literally rocket scientists, and so we've sat at dinner and talked about some of this stuff with these guys, and they say that the idea of terraforming, at least at Mars, is just not really workable because of the atmosphere bleed issue. But they've got some, I mean, some fascinating ideas about things that they could do there in lower gravity that it's just, you know, from an engineering perspective, much more difficult here. I mean, the idea of a space elevator, and I don't know if you're familiar with this concept, but basically it involves putting a geostationary satellite or station in orbit over a planet like Mars, and then building down to it or building up to it a continuous carbon fiber steel alloy line that would drop from space all the way down to the surface, and because it's stationary, it's not moving, so you can drop it down through the atmosphere, and then use that, you know, power shuttles up and down that cable or that line into orbit. And it's a very inexpensive way, or relatively inexpensive way, to get to orbit. You can do it on Mars with much less difficulty than you could do it here.
Why wouldn't you just beam the guy up, Scotty?
Yeah, well, this is a step or two below that technology. But the idea that you could put something like that in place and make it a reasonably easy way to get from orbit to the ground is always fascinated me. You know, the idea that you step into a car and then, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours later, you're 60 miles above the planet.
Gee, what could go wrong there?
Well, once you get the thing built, a lot less than could go wrong in a rocket where you're basically riding on top of it exploding, or an explosion for 20, 30 minutes.
Do you remember a guy named Dr. Nicolaides?
Nicolaides. Name doesn't ring a bell, sorry.
He was, when I was in school, he was, he had been the head of NASA for a while, I think. Literally a rocket scientist, and this was 1974 when they were designing the space shuttle, and he was basically all pissed off that they had gone back on the original design, where the original design was the shuttle as we know it is very close, the thing that lands is very close to the original design, but the solid fuel rockets were a cutback in budget. The original, I don't know if you've heard this, you probably did, might know more about it than me, but the original design was to have, you know, something more powerful than a 747 essentially fly the thing up to whatever, 50,000-60,000 feet, drop it like you did an X-1, and then that one flies home, shuttle does its thing, and it flies home. And and they ended up going with these solid fuel rockets. And in his point of view, when they did that so early in the design process, he says they ended up spending almost as much on trying to make the solid fuel rockets work, plus the one blew up and killed everybody, and how dangerous they were compared to the other thing. He said at the end of the day, they didn't get anywhere by cutting back. He said it was one of his biggest disappointments was that they cut back and did the thing basically half-assed. And it says it ended up with crashes and people dying, and it cost them more in the end.
I mean, yeah, two of my classmates were astronauts, and I'm fairly good friends with both of them. They're very sharp people, and Tom Jones, who was has been the more vocal of the two and the more public facing of the two, had a comment to me. He said, You know what the most dangerous job in the United States is? And I said, no. And he said, it's being a space shuttle astronaut.
He said,
when you look at the fatalities versus the number of times people actually go to work on that thing, you're looking at terrible fatality statistics and terrible danger. And he goes, and it's not one of these things where, you can get hurt on the job. You're going to die, if something bad happens in that thing. And that's almost a guarantee. I think the original concept was something comparable to something called the Dinosaur, and I don't know if you remember that or not. The Dinosaur was it's Dinasoar, if somebody's going to tweet that out or look that up and tweet out a link to it. But that project was one of the original space plane projects where they were going to launch off a rocket, and then this rocket a plane would take off at like 50 or 60,000 feet. And they were modeling on that originally, as I understood it, because they really wanted a reusable launch platform.
Yeah,
and of course, the original shuttle was only reusable with respect to the actual shuttle itself.
But any kind of problems you had with the solid fuel or any kind of an issue you had was total danger to the tile things.
With solid rocket motors, I mean, liquid fuel rocket motors are much more complicated and expensive initially.
Well, you can't turn them off.
Once you light a solid fuel rocket motor, it's going, and there's no control. That thing is going to burn until the fuel goes out. With a liquid fuel engine system, you can dial it up or dial it down, and with a launch vehicle like an airplane or a reusable space plane. Much like what you've got with Virgin Galactic's system right now, you can the thing launches and then the bulk of what you put up in the air returns safely, because the vast majority of what goes up or what pushes that thing out of there is the stuff that gets it to 100,000 or 150,000 feet. And if you can get it up there and bring it back, then you're going to be able to reuse the vast majority of your
thing,
system.
They showed a picture of it, and it sat. You know how they used to put them on top of the 747s to get them back to Florida?
Yeah.
It sat higher off the vehicle in the bottom. And you're supposed to just get it up to 65,000 feet, turn the damn thing on, and let it loose, and it flew one way, and you flew the other. I mean, I don't think you were going to drop it out of the belly like you did the X-1 or the X-15. I don't think this thing was big enough to have that thing in the belly. It was outside. But anyway, hey, two things I'd like to run by here, Lou, as you travel and you're now every man, although I still think there is no such thing as a former attorney. My man Robert from the Fed keeps saying he's a former attorney, and I go, anyway. Two things here, interesting stories. 40% of Americans say recession has already begun. And this article has a lot to do with what the numbers we're getting from the people that want to tell you how good you're doing versus the survey done from just regular people. But this one's interesting. Maybe you want to dig into this one first. Senator Warner, and this is an interesting, this is not, what's her name? Warner. And he's claiming that, we have all kinds of people, mostly young people, that don't seem to care at all how much of their own data they're giving to Facebook and everybody else. And they don't give a crap because they're more concerned about convenience. And, it's hey, if that arrow hurts, it hurts. I mean, I know young people that have told me, I don't care what happens to my stuff, as long as it's convenient for me to whip out the card and pay for my Dunkin' Donuts and not have to carry cash, I don't care.
Sure. Who cares about a cashless society? I just read an article about by some guy who was trying to lecture his students about what the dangers of a cashless society and what it meant for their ability to be tracked.
Well, and you know my views on him. Anyway, Senator Warner, who is this guy? He's from he's Virginia. I don't know. Is he Democrat or Republican? I have no idea.
He's originally, I believe, a Republican, John Warner. He was if it's a guy.
No, Mark
Taylor
Warner
for a while.
No, Virginia Senator Mark Warner. He's young.
Mark Warner. I'm sorry. He's a Democrat. Sorry. Brain
okay,
lock there.
What he wants to demand from these people. It's a different way to go about it. What he wants to demand from these people is that they that the people have a right to know what their stuff is worth. So the dumb dumb. Well, I shouldn't say that. The person who thinks that what's the big deal with them giving away their information, that if they knew it was worth 5,000 to these people, they might at least want the 5,000 or something, or at least think differently about it. I don't know if that's an interesting way to go about it.
But that's, you know, the value of that information is basically worthless because you're willing to give it away.
Well, but it's worth something to somebody.
Yeah, but maybe in the aggregate, but not on an individual basis. This is the class action lawsuit theory of and he's a former plaintiff's lawyer, if I remember right. But this is the class action lawsuit theory of you know economics, which is yeah, I can aggregate these teeny tiny little claims for $1 or $2 a person, but if I get 3 or 4 million claimants, then all of a sudden there's enough money there to pay my attorney's fees. I understand the concept, but the value, it may be worth something to somebody, but to the individual who's giving it away, it's the value is negligible.
Well, I mean, it isn't. Basically, I think individuals need to know what data is being collected about us.
I absolutely agree about that. I don't have any problem about that.
And what that data value is.
But the value to the individual is zero.
Well, it's not if don't think about this in a visual. If I Google men's underwear, and all of a sudden it pops up on my Tribune page and my CNBC page.
Suddenly, you're getting advertisements from Duluth Trading.
Right. I mean, and so obviously, Duluth paid something for that piece of information. I'm not saying it's $20.
Oh, strike that. Let me put it this way: I get advertisements from Duluth Trading. You know, Maddie and the rest of his ilk probably get it from Calvin Klein.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, Maddie gets... Well, you know, I don't know. Well, Maddie's... He's still there. Another 5 years, I don't know if he's be getting the buff stuff, but, you know. Well, I got a good one for you, Lou. I was watching this stupid show the other night.
Anyway, the value of this stuff, I mean, to me, the value of this stuff in the aggregate is going to be very, very limited. It's going to be very, you know, very minor.
But, I mean, it's... Whatever it is... I think his point is, people are taking something from you that you think is worth nothing. But in fact, if it's worth something, somebody should at least tell you.
They're not taking it from you. You're giving it to them.
Not really. I didn't give that to the Tribune. They bought
sure.
it.
Sure. When I pump. Well, I strike that. I mean, I'm talking about to Facebook or Twitter or whoever the aggregator is. You're giving them that information. Facebook says, hey, tell us about yourself, and you put your birthday and your holidays and your life events and everything else in there. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you're looking around going, oh, I got all this information out there, but I gave it away.
But I mean, I'm not, as you know, I'm not a tweet or Facebook dude. I'm talking about Google underwear, and it pops up
sure.
by the next 15 days.
Well,
I didn't give that
Google,
away.
Trust me. You run a search on Facebook, Google knows instantly what you've done.
I think this is somewhat of a step, though. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, that particular ad's probably worth, what, 1/100 of a cent?
Not even that. I mean, the information, I'm much more interested in the fact that the information that I really don't object to the commercial use of that information, as long as I understand that that's what's happening and that I'm giving it to them and that they are reading it. What I object to, and I object to like mad, is what I think is going on with Alexa and Google Voice and some of the other, well, I know it's going on with Alexa, where that system is listening to you and recording what you're doing 100% of the time, even if it's not switched on. And that information gets used to channel commercial activities to you.
Well, I mean, what...
Because people don't know about that.
Well, I mean, I think we're both being too kind here, to be honest with you, Lou, which is rare for us. I'm going to say that... I won't use names here. I honestly don't... You're right. I don't really care, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess... It bothers me that they have information about me that I didn't say go ahead and use. But you know what? I really don't care if I get the Duluth Trading ad and on top of CNBC all that much, because I do use Duluth Trading, so it's not the end of the world. But
I mean, it's the same, Chief. It's the same thing that happens now at the supermarket, or at the grocery store, or at any convenience store. You go in, and if you pay with a card, that card data identifies you as a purchaser of certain items, and that data may not flag you individually. But those grocery stores know very, very, by down to zip code, who buys what, kind of stuff goes first.
Oh, I understand.
What kind of thing, and so when you buy something, you know, at like a Safeway or Kroger's or something, the coupon or your receipt that you get has coupons that are tailored to you.
Well, I get it, but here's where I would
so
have a problem.
Same kind of process.
But here's where I would have a big problem with it, Lou. And I don't know where the line is. That's why I'm talking to you. I don't know where the line is. But say, for instance, we all know our good friend Matt Weber has become engaged to a terrific young lady. I wouldn't tell if I knew, but someday I assume the engagement's going to be the wedding. And who knows? There might be a little Matty Weber around. Okay, which would be a good thing. But now what I don't want to have happen is for his soon-to-be wife do a search for, say, an obstetrician, if she thinks she's pregnant, and all of a sudden that piece of information gets sold all over the damn place, where for the next 9 months they get inundated with everything. Her looking for a doctor is nobody's damn business, to be sold to somebody else. I mean, I have lines here, and I know my lines are different than other people. You know what? You can screw me over on my underwear search. I can take it. But I don't want somebody's medical stuff being sold to people. Hey, this lady must be pregnant. She's looking for an obstetrician.
Yeah.
It's nobody's business.
I don't know when they're doing the wedding, but if they want to watch craziness on the internet, and I imagine it's the same for childbirth, dial in or do a search for a wedding reception, or invitations or address, and watch what happens to your Google feeds.
That's nobody's damn business, Lou. I mean, you know, I can take the underwear hit, but no, I'm just saying.
Well, the idea, at least the idea that this is just being done in response to a single search, I can live with. It's when you're talking about it in your house. And your smart TV. Boy, yep. That was one of the most... That was
Lou, hold that thought, buddy. S&P futures up 575, Dow only down 4 now. NASDAQ futures up 22, so we're mostly up. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities. possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right
now. Well, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Will Michael, Mr. Matt Weber on the board, Mr. Jack Silverman on the board as well. SP Futures up. Well, they're not on the board together. They're taking turns over there. S&P Futures up 150. Board's not that big. NASDAQ Futures up 8. Dow Futures down 6. So we got a little bit of a mixed bag here. By the way, yesterday was interesting. We were down. We are now on Thursday, in case anybody's checked. Tuesday we had a huge down day, one of the worst days of the year. Yesterday we were up at the show in the morning, roughly 40% of the way back. Finished really unchanged in the broad market. Still up in the high-tech area, so the NASDAQ has been up a few days in a row. I mean, not up, wasn't up the day before, but NASDAQ has had the best performance in the last week or two. But it was really not such good news technically or other things yesterday that we closed basically unchanged or even down a little bit. However, none of that, all that's off the table with this weekend type of stuff going on in over in Japan. So anyway, that we got that going, which is pretty much driving the news. DAX up 10, call that flat. FTSE down 24.3%. CAC around down 11, call that flat. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 251, 1.1%. They've been down. Shanghai up 20.7%. Hang Seng of 399-1.4. So some enthusiasm there, I'm assuming, having to do with this meeting. The whole world's about this meeting. Oil heading the other way today, down 54 cents, 58.84. Brent down 64 cents, 65.85, as I believe. OPEC has a meeting come up as well. So we got a G20 meeting, OPEC meeting. OPEC, I think, shouldn't even waste their time. I think they are yesterday's news, but that's just me. Silver down 9 cents, 15.28. Gold down 7 bucks, still over 1,400. 14.07. Copper 270. And we've got bonds, we're talking at the 10-year yield, 2.04. So it's actually crept up, I won't say significantly, but it's crept up some from its 198 it got to a couple of weeks after the Fed meeting. Anybody got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. The Sports Weather Traffic Update is brought to you by Luckbox Magazine. The Guide to Money and Probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. But Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription. Just visit luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Off to a pretty good start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy, Eisenhower and Stevenson traffic building, but no accidents or issues to report. Same with your south side expressways and suburban tollways. The issues are all down in the south suburbs due to flooding. We have all kinds of closures along Sauk Trail Road that are causing issues. And then Cicero Avenue between Lincoln Highway and 207th Street is closed due to flooding. And so, you know, all it's sort of in that area down past like Olympia Fields, Chief, there's all kinds of closures. So keep that
in mind. I was there Monday. It was raining.
Yeah. And then we do have one crash that just came across I-57 northbound just before I-80. We have an accident that's been moved to the right shoulder. It's involving a motorcycle, and emergency crews are arriving there. So that's causing delays on I-57 northbound just before I-80. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, another sunny, warm, humid day, similar to yesterday where we're going to be in the 90s further inland, but if you're on the lakefront downtown, it's going to be relatively pleasant. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 80, a nice breeze. Right now it's mostly sunny and 70 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 105 today. Right now it's clear and 77. In sports, the White Sox salvage their final game in Boston, beating the Red Sox 8-7 in come-from-behind fashion. Big two-run homer by Jose Abreu in the ninth won that one. Yoan Moncada left the game as he was hit by a pitch on his knee and left with a bone bruise. He's day-to-day. Tim Anderson was placed on the injured list with that sprained ankle from the other day. He's in a walking boot, so that's not looking great. Cubs lost to the Braves 5-3. That's their second straight loss. They play this afternoon, hoping to split that four-game series. 121st pitch at Wrigley. Diamondbacks blew out the Dodgers 8-2. College World Series, it was Vanderbilt. They lost game one and then won two straight to win the College World Series championship, beating Michigan last night 8-2. So congratulations to Vanderbilt. Sorry to our guy Joel. And lastly, high school coaching legend Gene Pignatore, Chief, who was prominently featured in Hoop Dreams and coached Isaiah Thomas, among others, at St. Joseph's High School in Westchester. He passed away at age 83, the all-time winningest coach in Illinois basketball history.
Good for him, that life. What a great life. Helped a lot of people.
Helped a lot of people and coached a lot of D1 players and NBA players.
Yeah, well, it's in those days, before the AAU sort of took over, you were... I won't say, let's put it this way, you were a male figure in a lot of those kids' lives.
Right, absolutely. And Hoop Dreams, for those that haven't seen it, but I feel like most people have seen it, it's just such a great documentary and really showcases kind of what Chicago is like for a lot of people and how basketball is sort of, for a lot of people, their only way out. The hopes of playing basketball, which is pretty sad, even at the high school level. And kids taking
that movie was a revelation with regard to high school recruiting in basketball.
Yes, absolutely. And Gene Pignatore was featured prominently in that movie, for better or worse.
Well, the who was the guy that he was at? Was he at Westinghouse for a while? And he got all these kids from everywhere. And the rule changed where if you had an aunt or an uncle that lived in the area, when I was young and I actually worked for the Chicago Public Schools, you pretty much went to your high school unless you went to a technical school. So if you decided you were going to, I think anybody, Lou, could decide they were going to go to Lane Tech or Tilden Tech, even if you were in the Kelly High School district, say. But I think that was probably the only way you could, I'll use the term, escape your district.
That's why, I mean, that certainly was the way when I was in high school, and the only places that could recruit were the Catholic private schools.
And they could give scholarships. Well, actually, not all did. Marist never did. So Marist was never, when I was in high school, ways ago, the Catholic League was Brother Rice, Mendel, St. Rita, Gordon Tech, Fenwick. They actually could give rides. Okay, so there was a lot of recruitment going on there. And Marist played in the suburban Catholic League. They played like Notre Dame and Niles and those kinds of places. And they were part of the Illinois High School Association. No rights. So Marist always had an okay football team that always, you know, accounted for themselves well in that district and could have really accounted for themselves well against most state teams. But there was no way they were playing Brother Rice or St. Rita. It would have been the men against the boys. I mean, we're talking about anybody who was really good played for those guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, you saw the same thing in high school football in Cincinnati with, Moeller High School.
Yeah.
That used to recruit throughout Ohio for kids to come play high school football there. And, you know, terrific, terrific program. And but, you know, they were literally culling the cream of the crop out of Catholic school products throughout the state to come play there. And you know, that in high school, that makes a huge difference.
Well, as my buddy Tom Tracy, who's since deceased, was a basketball player at DePaul, said to me, Lou and Matty, he went to this camp back before there were like camps. We're talking about it because he was older than me. So I'm going to say he graduated DePaul 71, maybe, somewhere in there. And he went to this camp down in Arkansas, and he says some guy comes in with X's and O's and is there for about an hour talking about this, that, and the other thing. And some guy with the Arkansas draw walks in, well, boys, let me tell you, that's all my, that crap's all good and well and good, but let me tell you, it's who are the X's and who are the O's?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be said for that. Anyway, I think what happened was, going back to the public school stuff, which we always go adrift, somebody somewhere, I think, passed a new rule that said if you had, quote, a family member in the district, the kid could essentially go and live with the aunt or the grandmother or somebody or other. Now, nobody ever checked to see whether they lived there or not. So you had kids taking the bus to school, but their official address was somewhere in, I'm going to say Westinghouse was one of the big, what was that guy's name, Eddie? The guy was a legendary coach in the city that he almost went to jail or he finally got fired. What the hell was his name? But he had everybody coming over. It was in his place, and nobody lived in the area. So the rules became, you know, something you got around after a while.
But well, it's that way now anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
With USA Basketball and you know the recruiting of kids in you know seventh and eighth grade. I mean, you're not really looking. Our sport operations have moved more toward what I consider to be the European model, or what I actually the way they were when I was swimming competitively in the 70s, which is that club swimming and club sports were what drove your program, and your high school swimming program was just an incidental to whatever club you happened to work out with or the club that you worked out with for the rest of the year. And I mean, I think it's the same way now for everything but football.
Lou, I am astounded. Funny you should bring up this subject because I want to talk a little bit about this the difference in the economy perceived by different people every day. Many knows I stepped in. We had a whole bunch of stuff. I got out here late last night. I'm not cooking. I piled in a Triple E to get a salad. I'm trying to do something. We're playing softball tonight, Lou. So I'm going to go on a 1 day diet for softball. How's that going to work?
You know? Got it. Yeah. God bless you for not breaking into those Oreos.
Yeah, no kidding. So anyway, so I sit down. I talk to my buddy Al. And Al's a pretty athletic guy. He was a swimmer, I think, and he's got three kids. Lou, I've never heard of anything like it. They're not even in college yet. The one kid is a water polo kid, and evidently he's pretty darn good, which doesn't surprise me. I was a pretty sturdy looking dude. He's in Greece.
Yeah,
he's 8 weeks with the Greece and Hungary national team, training 12 hours a day, water polo, running, weights, for 3 weeks.
Good for him.
Well, I'm sure it is, but so then another son is a diver. Because I think his wife was a diver. Another son is a diver. He's at the first of two camps this summer. And the other kid does something else, and he's doing that, some other sport. And I'm like, Al, has anybody ever heard of a summer job anymore? Oh, yeah, when I get back, they'll have a job for like 3 weeks or something. Okay. God, has the world changed. The thought of...
Well, yeah. I started seeing this with my kids. I mean, you know, 20 years ago. The sort of the wake-up call for me, I when I moved to Chicago, I was laughing because people said, yeah, you know, we've got, you know, high-end programs here. And I'd come from Washington, D.C., and I said, let me just tell you what happens when you get a bunch of parents who are, you know, legitimately type A personalities and they get a hold of their kids in sports programs. So the wake-up call for me came when Evan, my youngest, was, I think, 9 or 10, maybe a little bit older. And the soccer club that we played with in suburban Virginia, outside of D.C., hired an English Premier League player, a former English Premier League player, to come and coach them for a season. You know, he rotated between like 8 or 9 teams. He was charged, I think, $3,000 a season for, and these are suburban league kids, okay? All of a sudden, they've got this guy out there who really knows soccer really well. And all of a sudden, I thought, what are we getting into here? This is starting to have an impact, and it's starting to have an impact on sports like baseball. If you read up on the declining participation of African Americans in baseball, one of the reasons for it is that in the United States, in the CONUS anyway, baseball is becoming a very expensive sport because the training to get you to throw and to field and to hit, this stuff all starts when these kids are 8, 9, 10, and it's not happening on a you know, pickup playing field. It's happening in a camp. And it's happening with you know, computer diagnostics and visualization and you know, specialized hitting coaches. And that takes a lot of money to pay for, and it's working now. The thought process is, anyway, it's working now to exclude people who are poor. And it's a disturbing trend, but it's there.
Well, yeah,
and that's happening in other sports as well.
I was watching the College World Series, and Michigan has a bunch of kids from the Chicago area, and at least one, maybe two. I know they had a couple are African American kids, and they're from Chicago. My first thing that popped through my mind is, where did they go? They didn't go to a public school here, for God's sake, and make it to Michigan. There's no way that's happening, because when I go out walking or jogging in the neighborhood,
it doesn't matter though, Chief. Because they could go to a public school and play that limited high school season that Illinois players have. Although thank God for global warming, it's getting longer.
Yeah.
But then the rest of the season, I mean, I had nephews who did this. The rest of the season, the rest of the year, they're in with a club baseball program. That is, you know, putting them through explosive speed training and hand-eye coordination for hitting training. And hand-eye coordination for catching and fielding, and the development of those skills now goes year-round. I mean, it was always that way for swimming in the 60s and 70s when the club sports took over for swimming. But boy, it's catching up in a lot of places now.
By the way, Chief, there's 4 African-American kids on the Michigan roster who are from the Chicago area alone. There's obviously kids from all over the place. One went to Richards in Thornton.
I don't know where that is. Okay.
Yep. One went to Simeon on the south side.
Really?
One went to Morgan Park on the south side.
Wow.
And then the other guy went to Mount Carmel.
Which is on the south side.
But it's private.
Right.
But well, Simeon and Morgan Park.
Good for them.
But again, you know, like I said, the high school programs are much less important than who they're clubbing with.
Absolutely, especially when you're at that level. I mean, these kids are obviously really good.
Little one of Audrey's friends, her nephew is going to Brother Rice, right? I hadn't been to Brother Rice since I went there to see it before I went to high school. So we're talking way all back. So Audrey says, hey, it's a charitable thing for for Brother Rice. And I go, all right, what the hell? So we go, and whatever the tickets were, they had a bunch of people like selling stuff, and there were a lot of prizes, and somebody basically worked their fanny off. There were more prizes, Lou. You know, Southside, how can I say this politically correctly? Southside ladies aren't afraid to ask. And they had more people donate more stuff, from golf clubs to wine baskets to you name it. And I mean, it was really well done. I said, by the way, what are they building, like a new locker room or something? Guess what the answer was?
I don't know.
No, the soccer team's going to go for 2 weeks to Bosnia or something. You've got to be kidding me. But this is air. Kids got to go halfway around the world to play soccer. That's what I'm putting up dough for. I mean, you could have knocked me over the feather. I had no idea that's what this was for.
Oh yeah. Well, okay. So to give you a look at this, when I was a junior in high school in 1971-72, my swim team traveled to Oaxtepec, Mexico, to the Olympic Training Center. This was right after the 68 Olympics in Mexico City. We traveled to the Olympic Training Center in Mexico, training at 4,000 feet, and spent our Christmas vacation there for 2.5 weeks, training in a 50 meter pool. And I mean, it was a big deal then, but it's routine now. You wonder about the values of this, and I'm sort of torn, because as much as I love the idea of local high school sports and kids having the opportunity to do things other than train, at the same time, to expose these kids to Bosnia or to Greece or whatever, and let them see that culture and let them interact with other kids from international venues, I mean, there's some real value in that.
Yeah, maybe when they get to be president, they'll have a different view of the world. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's the same mentality that we saw in the U.S. military in the 60s and 70s. When the U.S. military looked around and said, you know, we got to quit being so insular. We got to get out and we got to start seeing these places where we're gonna form alliances and how we're gonna deal with people, and you know, what you start talking to junior officers right now, and their international scope and breadth is amazing.
Really,
and it's something that's been going on for a while. But yeah, I mean, I was in Italy a couple of weeks ago on business. And one of my Air Force Academy classmates was over there, and he introduced me to the former chief of staff of the Hungarian Air Force.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And I mean, and this is not some guy that he just happened to know. This is a friend of his. And I mean, we sat down and they talked about their assignment together and their work. And, you know, when you start to look at what people have done over the course of their careers, this kind of breadth and international exposure is not unusual at all. In fact, it's encouraged.
One of my,
The idea that we have kids that are, you know, citizens of the world as a result of these kinds of exposures, I don't think is a bad thing.
I think it's hugely positive. One of my buddies, I'll keep this brief because I want to ask you a question about Boeing here. He was one of the, in the Army, and he was one of the guys that was going from Taliban head to Taliban head, essentially trying to see if he, for some combination of negotiation and money, would essentially join our team. And I guess that's a way to get involved in the world, huh? Wow.
Yep.
I mean, this morning, the reasons why the Dow is an outlier here, at Boeing now down almost $10, $9.92, as the FAA came out yesterday and said there's yet another issue. Lou, I know I shouldn't say this totally, but we just gave these bleeps $14 billion to mess around with P-52s for a while, so the government is not going to let them go under. But if these guys are actually producing 40 planes a week that they're parking, even if their cost on the plane is $80 million, and they sell them for $110 or whatever, say $70 million, I got to believe that this is starting to become a cash draw in Boeing. And are they ever going to get this thing back in the air?
Sure. Well, let me put it this way. Again, I think this is an Audi 5000 problem. So now the press, the ignorant press, recognizes the one airliner that they can recognize is the 737 MAX. So every time something happens, and again, this is a new airplane, it's going to have teething issues. Every time something happens with one of those aircraft, now it hits a headline, and Boeing stock takes another hit. It in terms of, you know, quality of the aircraft and things like that, I don't think it makes that much. It's that big a deal. I mean, these are relatively easy fixes. They're not crash worthy. But the FAA has now been sensitized, much like the Department of Transportation was sensitized over the Audi 5000. The FAA has been politically sensitized to any problem with the 737 MAX has to be flagged immediately and corrected, because that airplane's been cursed.
Well, look at the numbers on it, though, Lou. Is the, I mean, we're talking about them paying these people for the thing not to be in the air. I'm looking at this as strictly stock valuing Boeing.
Oh no, no, yeah. this is a real concern for Boeing. They got a huge buy from somebody at, I believe, at the Paris Air Show, which was very helpful.
787s, I believe.
No, they ordered 737 Maxes.
Yeah, somebody at the very tail end of the show, the first order in a long time was a 787, and followed that right back up with a 730. You're right, the Max. But I'm saying, just the numbers, Lou, if it's a year from now, even those guys got to be feeling his drain. Where are you parking these things?
Yeah, no, they're gonna feel it. And but you're right. I mean, Boeing is also producing the new tankers, and so for the Air Force, and so that's got to be managed as well.
Well, no, yeah, they've always been able to do some of that. But remember that. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. Well, we didn't get to talk about the people who think they're already in a recession, but maybe we'll do that next week. You take care of yourself, bud. SP Futures up 3 cents. Hey, big meetings this weekend. OPEC and Trump and Z. So who knows what next the world will look like. By the way, next week is 4th of July. We have to get you on another day because I can't go a week without Lou. Anyway, we'll talk about it. SP Futures up 375. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now.
There's something happening here.
Well, welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. S&P futures up 375, NASDAQ futures down 1950. But we have the Dow is down because Boeing is down. I've got it down 1074 now, which is the lowest I've seen it this morning. As they have yet another issue with the 737 MAX that is brought up by the FAA. Some looks like a software glitch of some kind. And, you know, I think a lot of this has to do with, I've been obviously beating this drum for a long time, that in my opinion, I certainly don't know as much as Lou or Fari, but that thing was enough of a new plane to where it should have been treated as one out of the get-go. New engines, they moved the engines forward, new wings, new everything. to where, and I know Boeing did not, I suspect Boeing did not want the it to be considered a new plane, a new plane, because part of the selling point of a 737 is that they're all sort of the same, and that a group from Southwest Air, which has only ever flown 737s, can essentially take a pilot and drop them in a 400, 500, 700, and I think the pilot flies all of them. I'm not positive on that, but I think this one, they wanted that to be the same way. The same people just drop in and go. And I think that that was foolish. I think it was a reach. And now the FAA is treating it like a new plane with all the new bugs, that little bugs that new planes have. Doesn't make them bad planes. It just means they got little bugs, and they weren't treated that way in the first place. So that's essentially where I am on that one. Are you no far yet? Oh, well, he'll be in a bit. Well, why don't you send me Matt Weber? Wake him up and send him over here. The one of the things I was looking at last night, and don't need fire to go over this, is the as we listen to everybody tell everybody what the market's like, what the economy's like. Clearly, if you talk to somebody who's got a really good job and making a lot of money, it's going to be good because it's good for him. Right? That's just human nature. That's not a massive criticism of anybody. It's just. Hey, I just won the lottery. How are you guys doing? Pretty good, eh? Well, maybe not, type of a thing. And, but this is a survey by, Yahoo Finance, by a lady, S-I-B-I-L-E, is that Sibyl, maybe? Marcellus?
S-I-B what?
I-L-E, is that Sibyl?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
That's an interesting name.
Yeah, it's an interesting name.
Or Sibyl?
Sibyl's with the Y, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Sybil was, wasn't she the girl in the horror movie?
I just know Sybil Shepherd, the actress.
She was CY.
Yeah, she was CY.
I saw her sing one night.
Really? I didn't know she was a singer.
She's not. but she is striking looking. She's got to be, what is she, 6'1", 6 foot? She's up there, I mean.
Oh, yeah. In the 90s, she was very popular and obviously very attractive. I haven't seen her in a long time, but I'm sure she's still very attractive.
If you are appreciative of the, or shall we say, of human nature, of humans, of any, the scene in the last picture show where they made her strip on the diving board when she was like 19 or 20, I'd say it's one you might want to check out. Just because you want to see what old pools used to look like.
Yes.
She was pretty special, but couldn't sing. As people say, this is the interesting part here, Manny, is experts now on how the economy is right now. Experts, how many people think it's excellent?
What percentage?
Yeah. Now, what an expert is, God only knows, but.
I'll say 15%.
11.
Okay. That's close.
By the way, I really think that I'm trying to get our man Thomas, because he'd be perfect for this. He should start to register as an expert on extraterrestrial life.
Yeah.
One of these days, somebody's going to show up here, and, maybe not in my lifetime or yours, but, and we're going to have an expert, because somebody will be on TV as an expert 30 seconds later.
Absolutely.
You might as well tell everybody you're an expert. We could do that. We'll take a ride. We'll ride through. What's the place in the
Roswell?
Roswell. We'll drive through there. We'll go to the little museum, and we'll make ourselves an expert.
I think I'll let Thomas handle it.
He'd be more believable anyway. But get a load of this. Out of everyday Americans, the number is actually higher. It's 12%.
So economic experts. 11% of them believe the economy is clicking on all cylinders right now and is in excellent shape. Yet a higher percentage of everyday working Americans believe it's excellent.
Right. But now among experts, the people who believe the economy is good, what do you suppose the number is there?
So good being less than excellent.
Yes. But above, not so good, and poor.
Right.
So
I'd say spots. 40%.
See, that's because you're an everyday American. 89%. So now one expert
thinks it's bad?
Thinks it's not so good or poor.
Wow.
Well, your experts are all economists that are getting paid for by a school and don't do much.
Right.
I'm not saying lobbing stones.
Well, I can't, I mean, you know, I can't think of a less important job.
Well, I mean, I think teaching is a good, but
teaching's important, but
your view of the world is just different.
Yeah, teaching at that level, though, is like not that important.
Well, I mean, it's...
It's really not, in the grand scheme of things. It's not important at all. You're not selling anything. You're not producing anything. You're not really bringing much of value.
You better be publishing at a big school. You're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you're at that level and you're teaching MBA economics and stuff like that, I mean, yeah, it's a great gig if you can get it, but are you really changing the world? I don't think so.
Well, I'm assuming experts are either economists or the guys that are on CNBC making a lot of money from being on TV. So in their world...
It's either excellent or good because they're making six figures and not having to work that hard.
So we're on the rest of Americans. By the way, you were spot on, which makes you rest of Americans, 47%.
Okay.
27% say not so good and 12% say poor. Which is kind of where I would have put it, actually.
Yeah. So if you're wondering what my opinion would be as an average working American... I would say that it is somewhere between, it's right in the middle. I would say it's on the low end of good. I would say it's been that way for probably the last, I don't know, maybe 5 years, 4 years.
Yeah, I don't think it's gotten much better.
I mean, the market's obviously gotten a lot better. I mean, I've talked about this before, but the 2008 through 2010 stuff really hurt a lot of people, but it really hurt a lot of people my age, obviously, because, you know, me personally, graduated school in 06, and you're getting your first jobs, you know, 06, 07, 08, your first real jobs, and then everything just tanked, and everyone got laid off.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone got laid off, like, on your ass, laid off, and just crippled by student loan debt, and now no job. So not even a bad job, just no job. We're so far from that. I mean,
I would agree.
To me, that's bad, and so I could never agree with someone that says it's bad out there right now, because it's not bad. That's bad, but it's not great. I mean, I just think it's steadily gotten better every year since 2010.
I would the things I see, and I, by the way, I'm not supposed to agree. We're on radio, but I agree with everything you just said, except for a couple things. One is your group. Because you're 35-ish, your group, when you came out of school, even a bad job, I'm going to say for most people, kept you current with living with a roommate and paying something on your student loan debt. Something. Not ideal.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
I think you're begging your parents to help pay the student loan, or you're deferring your loans because you weren't making any money. And, It was a miserable time.
My point is, it's gone from
the life of people that in your generation, in my opinion, was so much easier in coming out of school than compared to.
Oh, it's
not even close.
There is no question.
Yeah,
there's not even close. You'll never get me to argue that.
Our wages are basically the same, but our experiences and our debts are completely different.
Well, that's my point. Is that right now? I think what's changed since 2008 is the people who were in really bad shape then didn't have a job.
Right.
But I think that some now, not to this total same extent, the fact that the rents are so much higher and the student loan debt is so much higher that you can actually be employed at a sub-level job for you and almost be in the same bad spot.
Yeah, I think that's true.
The thing I look at is the debt overload and the total lack of savings of a person or a family.
And the average credit card debt of $8,000 per family or whatever it is a real number, just on the credit card alone, not even factoring in, you know, student loan and everything else. I think you're probably right about that.
And again, as you know, I'm not somebody who wants government to solve everything, because I don't think they really solve much of anything. But they sort of could. The avalanche that I think is lack of competition in a lot of places.
So I didn't see the debates last night, did you?
Evidently Senator Warren came out better than most.
That's what I was going to say is the one thing I've heard this morning before when I was getting ready to come in to the show was a Senator Warren clip, and she must have made a big portion of her her airtime last night, she was talking about mergers and acquisitions and how it's gotten completely out of control. There's no competition. We have, you know, four companies in every industry running everything, and sometimes less than that.
By the way, it's very fascist.
Yeah, and
not her.
No, and I've never really heard a politician speak on that except for Bernie and now her. So I was pretty surprised to hear that.
Well, that's kind of where I'm going with me. Is that if for instance, the big naked ape in the room is medical care, right? When you become a when you guys have a family or something, that's especially if one or God help you, both of you lost your job, and medical care is the big ape in the room,
right?
So, but the thing that you may have a mortgage, but I got to believe that if my parents are still alive, they could tell me this, but I think if you had a mortgage at the Evergreen Park Savings and Loan or someplace, and something bad happened and you didn't pay it for a month, I'm going to say they let you catch up.
Like if you went in there and told them, hey.
They still can sort of do that. If you play the game, if you say I'll be late for a month, they'll probably say, okay, we'll give you 1 month but not two or something. But if you just, whatever, miss a couple of months for some reason, the avalanche of crap that falls on you, legal fees, late fees, you could have your grandmother from God knows where could find little Maddie and say, hey, you're 2 months behind on your mortgage. Here's the dough. Just go pay him. Catch up. You can't catch up. The avalanche of crap that lands on you. God help you if it's a credit card bill. $35, you just went from 14% to 24 or 28. You're never going back. You're going to be in debt the rest of your life. I mean, and this avalanche of stuff that they pour on people the minute they're in trouble, I don't know where that came from. Eh? That is nothing in my lifetime to age 40. I never saw anything like even the mob didn't do that.
they had their own methods.
Well, okay, but even then, they knew if the kid was in the hospital, you're not going to get blood out of a turnip this month, and to double the guy's debt doesn't do anybody good.
Right.
But there's people that I know very well that have had credit card problems from a business for 20 years. And I'm going to say the amount they paid is probably 7 to 10 times now what the original debt was.
Right. Absolutely.
In a time when interest rates are zero for most people or for the right people. I mean, how we got here from wherever. I mean, the one I missed a month on, for those of you that don't know, PTI Securities, we provide Sam's Club memberships and Costco memberships. And as they say, Maddie, no good deed goes unpunished. I go and I got, because a couple of people have the prescriptions at Sam's. So, we didn't pay our thing in January. So I hustle over to Sam's and get everybody reloaded, right? And I go shopping and I was like, $175. I bought some stuff for the office. And I used the new Sam's card is now, quote, a credit card.
What logo's on it?
Well, it's, you know what?
Is it Visa?
I think I'm going to toss it. But no, I think it's a MasterCharge.
Oh, MasterCard.
Yeah, MasterCard. And so they hadn't sent me a bill, like, ever, right? Because I always just paid cash. So then, I don't see a bill. I don't think anything of it. All of a sudden, the next month, it's like $175 was the thing. By the way, it was like $40 or $50 for the late fee. And my interest, which was like 18 or whatever, which I had never intended to use, it's now like 24, 28. So I owe these idiots like almost $300 or 170 or it was like $100 over what the thing was. 1 month.
Yikes.
I mean, the more you and I know people in the building here and guys that have worked at our place and so forth, there's an awful lot of people in the city who have trouble with the English language. There's an awful lot of people that have no more the ability to go to the bank and ask to be late for a mortgage if they can't. They have no idea how to play, quote, whatever little game is left. How bad do you think these people get eviscerated?
Oh, I'm sure they get killed. And then you have the vultures that come calling.
Yeah.
That are, we're going to consolidate all your debt and make it one monthly payment for you and blah, 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 blah. Then you start getting those phone calls and letters constantly, and I bet that's a nightmare too.
Oh, I mean, somewhere along the line, and I honestly believe that my big concern with Elizabeth Warren is that she thinks that government is the solution to all this stuff. government's the reason why there's four people in an industry.
Well, agreed, but if government actually did their job, then they would be a solution.
Name me.
If they actually, you know, acted upon all the acts and, what's the Clayton Act and the Sherman Act and all these laws that have been put in place, if they actually enforced them, like you always talk about, then they would be the solution to that problem.
What?
But okay. If they're in bed with the big companies like they are, then obviously that leads to where we're at but today.
Name me a monopoly that hasn't been aided and abetted and since created by government.
That's my point, because they haven't been enforcing the laws that are already in place.
But start with utilities.
Yeah, no, I know. You're exactly right. But I think we're making the same point. The government's not the solution, but government doing their job can be the solution.
I don't disagree, except
in this particular case.
But you once you reach that stage, I don't know how you come back.
I mean, can a president or a presidential administration that has some control in the House and Senate, can they force government officials and regulators to do their job and enforce laws that already exist? I don't know.
Okay, but what she was talking about last night, from what you tell me, and what you're talking about now, okay, we all know that probably the last couple of airlines, mergers were not a good idea. Okay. Now what do you do?
Well, you can't change the past, I assume, but you can help. You can change what happens going forward. I think that's all you can do.
But how do you push competition into an area? I mean, as we speak, how many hospital chains are left in the Chicago area? Four? Five?
Probably.
All right. So, and everybody's decided in those chains that an MRI is $5,000. You and I know. And Kevin knows. If you listen, I actually haven't heard any of those commercials in a long time. The Cleveland Clinic had a place where you could go there for $600.
Right.
I haven't heard those. Now, do you have to think totally outside the box, and do you have to provide money to somebody who says, I will build an MRI place, and I will charge $600? Do you give them the loan at 2% that all these other guys are getting so they can buy up another hospital? Do you find a way to work that down the chain? Because you're not going to get your regular banking system to do that.
No.
So now, who do you get to manage that?
That's a good question.
I mean, because you get frozen out. I mean, if somebody dropped $1 billion on me today and I bet it all on red and bought $1 billion worth of puts, which I don't even think you could do, and all of a sudden the market dropped 20% in the next week and the billion became $20 billion, and you and I say, well, you know what? Chief and Maddie Enterprises, we're going to go out and do something incredible. We're going to start an airline, and we're actually going to go buy a couple of planes, which, of course, nobody does, right? You just lease them. Now, can we get a landing spot? Well, not really. Can you get a gate? Oh, God, no. Well, but they're all empty.
If we had $20 billion, I think they'd listen to us.
Well, but, I mean, the point is, the barriers to entry. Now, is the government going to say, wait a minute, if the slot's not being used, you got to cough it up to these guys? If the gate's not being used, you got to at least lease it to them at a real number. Are there rules like that, or do they say no? I mean, I don't know, last time you were in Washington and were foolish enough to fly out of Dulles. You walk past
gate.
I've only been there once. But I'm walking at gate like 50. And I'm walking by gate after gate after gate. It looked like there'd never been a plane there ever. So I asked somebody, wait a minute, are these gates like available? Oh, God, no, some people own them. Okay. I mean, there's way more to this, I guess, than meets the eye. She's right. This is a problem that everybody should see. Now, the question is, how does the same group of people that let you get there, that were so ignorant on the laws that are there, and all the senators and people that got, you know, their ass pockets stuffed with money from these people, how all of a sudden do you put somebody in charge of the antitrust department, and 10 years from now, things look a lot different? I don't even know how you start that. I mean, and you know, I'm as aggressive on this as anybody. I wouldn't know what to do on day one.
It's a great question, and I'm not sure I know the answer either, but I don't ever like to take the perspective of, well, we're too far down the rabbit hole now, so we might as well not do anything. I would always say,
I'm with you too.
Plus, yeah, I would always say, hey, we gotta start somewhere. Let's be reasonable and let's make this change and this change and see what happens, and let's try to at least turn the boat around, even if it's going to take 20 years.
Well, I mean, because you and I do still, because I love the game. I'm not so sure I like where it's going on a professional level, but you and I love Major League Baseball. And I'll tell you what, when I walk into Wrigley Field and some bleep charged me $12 for a draft of old style, my economic head says something's wrong here.
It's unbelievable.
It's not only expensive, it's insulting. I mean, when I can go to the Sam's Club and I see, that was the last time we were there, the water bottle that's like 12 ounces with the crummy cap is like a dime a bottle. The ones that are 16 ounces with the nice, I'll use the term nipple cap that you can open and close, those are 15 cents. And somebody told me that there was a Bear game last year where it was 90 degrees. People are selling these 16 ounce ones, like from Sam's Club, for $8. You know, I mean, at some point, it's, I mean, how insulting is that to people?
Well, Herb and I went to a Cub game a few weeks ago. It's the only game I've been to so far this year. And, you know, he got me the ticket, the free ticket. So I said, you know, first round's on me, obviously. And, pulled out a 20 and went to the cheap old style guy and two old styles. And, I think it was $22
I was going to say 24 because I had 25 in my hand. I was going to give him a nice tip, and I gave him a dollar tip because I didn't want to pull any more money out.
You know, it might have been 24.
Yeah.
It was something like that. And I was like, wow. I asked the guy, I go, oh, they're on special today, huh? And he goes, yep, today only.
I mean, at some point, now I have to believe that if there was obviously Chicago loves baseball. If we had a AAA team in Oak Lawn, would that help a little bit where people want to go to see a baseball game? They could. I mean, obviously we have some of these ones in Crestwood and things. And,
see, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think, the minor league can sustain the interest to compete against a major league team, even if the prices are a lot better. I have no interest in going to a minor league game.
I would say, you know, that you, well, by
but
the way,
but now if I did go, like if, you know, if we did a Stocks and Jocks outing or something and we went to the Kane County Cougars game, I bet we'd have a great time. It's not like it wouldn't be
fun.
By
the way, I was going to ask you today, you and your lovely financier, the thing for the Blue Island Fire Department is at Crestwood again, like in 2 weeks, where it's at Crestwood, whoever those guys are. And every time I've gone there,
Windy City Flyers or something?
No, they're Crestwood Thunderballs, Thundercats,
okay.
Something.
I remember I looked them up before.
Because they're one of the ones, they're so close that they have to...
they're unaffiliated, right?
Right, but the guy is... he's placed 25 people in the major league, so he must sell the contract to get something for that.
Right.
There must be some way, because he holds out tryouts. You know what I mean? You go, and you can tell people are... Are one, you know, I'm going to say two or three tool players. I'm down to a one tool player, but there's guys in the outfield that have a great arm. You'll see a great throw. You'll see an infielder make a great play. That guy probably can't hit. You know what I'm saying? But it's not like you don't see good baseball.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And it's at a good price. And if the weather's nice and the hot dogs are good, there's no issue there. But there's nothing like a big game.
No,
I mean,
no.
It's the best.
But I'm saying, at what point? If the city of Chicago had 30 million people, would it still be the Cubs and the Sox and the beers be $100? I mean, where do you...
Well, I will say that, you know, the prices here, as far as the concessions, are pretty much in line with everywhere else, too. It's an epidemic. I mean...
With the whole idea of captured audience.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But if you went down the street yesterday and all of a sudden you had your suit on and you were getting rained on, and I'm the bleep on the sidewalk selling an umbrella, I say, hey, buddy, it's raining, it's $40. You'd want to take a poke at me. But they're doing the same thing.
Right.
You can't leave here to get a beer, so if you're thirsty and it's 90 degrees or a thing of water.
You can bring water in, though.
Yeah, you can. Luckbox Magazine, the guide to money and probability, is available on newsstands, $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com. Is that /, right, Randy?
Yeah, it's right. /.
I don't know. This is all.
Or you can just say slash. Either
S&P
way.
S&P futures up 7. S&P futures up 30. Dow's the only one that's down. Only down a little bit because Boeing's only down $9 now. It was down over 10. So we're making a little bit of a comeback. We're going to probably try and rally into this weekend.
And we'll have David Andelman after the break and talk a little markets.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom. I just met Weber on board. Jack Silverman over there with him. S&P futures now up 7. We're trying to move up here. Yesterday at this time, we were up 16, and then we closed unchanged. We're actually down a couple points. We'll see if we hang in there today. NASDAQ futures up 32. Dow futures down 8, which is virtually all Boeing. The Boeing's down 10 bucks again. So that's $75 in the Dow, give or take. And here's the exact story is on that. Boeing shares fall on more uncertainty about the 737 MAX return because they found another software glitch could cause the train to the nose to go down. I think all this stuff is going to get fixed. It's just going to take a while. And Boeing is electing to continually build these things. I don't know if they can stop their suppliers off or what, but there's going to be a lot of planes piling up. Around the rest of the world, we've got the over in Europe, DAX up 20.1%, FTSE down 20.3%, CAC around down 11.2%, so very mixed and light over there. Mostly bullish in Asia. Nikkei up 251, 1.2%, Shanghai up 20.7%, Hang Seng up 399, 1.4%. Headline there is China's Xi is reportedly expecting to present Trump with terms for severing the trade deal. So it might be one of those I'm getting up and leaving, or it might be that they are onto something. There's got to be a way around, I think, those guys admitting to stuff they're never going to admit to, and that's a tricky area. I mean, hopefully they can pull it off, obviously. Oil down 44 cents, 58.94. OPEC, of course, is having a meeting this weekend as well. Brent down 54 cents, 65.95. Natural gas, 229, still nowhere. RBOB, 193. Gold is down 530 to 1410, still over 1400. Silver down 5 cents, but still pretty far over 1532. Copper going nowhere, down a penny, 2.69. Somebody over there, Traffic Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We're having some issues here kind of pile up on the screen. First of all, on the Kennedy Express Lane's inbound side at Augusta, there is a crash blocking the right lane, and that's causing the Kennedy to be pretty jammed up on the express lanes. So keep that in mind as you're heading inbound toward downtown. No issues on the outbound side. Normal traffic volumes there about 55 minutes out to O'Hare, but that's steadily growing. Edens looks okay, though. Eisenhower and Stevenson, traffic building, but nothing out of the ordinary. We have another issue, looks like on the inbound Orion, just at, right at Cermak Road, there's a stall that's blocking the left lane, so that's causing delays coming inbound on the Orion as well as folks navigate around that. Bishop Ford looks okay. Still have that issue on I-57, though. That's the northbound side just before I-80. There was a crash about an hour ago involving a motorcycle, and that's been moved to the shoulder. The right shoulder is blocked. So expect stop-and-go traffic at I-57 right near I-80 as well. Western suburbs look okay, the suburban tollways. Outside of that, we just have all kinds of flooding down south, especially along Sauk Trail Road, and then Cicero is closed between Lincoln Highway and 207th Street. But everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, warm temperatures. In the city, downtown area, it's going to be very pleasant. A high of 80, nice breeze, partly cloudy skies. But as you get further inland, you're going to be in the upper 80s and could touch 90 in the western suburbs. Right now, it's partly cloudy and 71 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 105 today. Right now, it's clear and 78. In sports, White Sox topped the Red Sox 8-7, salvaging Game 3 of their series at Fenway. Cubs dropped their second straight to the Braves 5-3. They're hoping to split as they'll play Game 4 this afternoon at Wrigley. Diamondbacks blew out the Dodgers 8-2. College World Series is Vanderbilt over Michigan 8-2 in Game 3 of that series, so the Vanderbilt Commodores are your 2019 college baseball champions. And lastly, as we touched on a bit in Hour 1, legendary high school basketball coach in Illinois, Gene Pingator, passed away. The St. Joseph's coaching legend, who was featured in Hoop Dreams, was 83.
Chief. What about our game tonight?
Yeah, I don't know what we call our team. Is it a Stocks and Jocks reunion? Is it, I mean, it sounds like half the roster is going to be Stocks and Jocks baseball players or softball players.
But what about the weather regarding our team?
Oh, the weather's going to be fine.
For sure. Last night they were talking about, this morning before you came down, they were talking about a massive storm tonight.
Well, every day for, it seems like, 2 weeks, we've had rain at some point during the day, but then 23 and a half out of the 24 hours have been beautiful.
Yes.
And I think, you know, we may be in the same situation. But let me pull up my radar while you say hello to David, and I'll give you
David,
an
how are you?
I'm doing fine.
So get a load of this. We're playing, might be three games tonight. You might say, well, how the hell are you guys playing? You weren't in the league. Evidently, David, the league was supposed to end like 3 weeks ago. And they've had so much rain, it's been rained out every night. So all the playoff games have piled up where they're going to try and do all three of them tonight, whoever
wins. Well, we had in May, we had 13 straight days of rain in the Chicago area, the proper Chicago area, not including suburbs, that lasted a half hour or more.
Well, yeah, and so...
So according to the hourly forecast, this is for the 60618 zip code, which is northwest side, where the park is that we're playing. It's going to be partly cloudy and in the low to mid-80s today. And it looks like, of course, hold on, I'm looking at the wrong thing here. It looks like precipitation-wise, there we go. We have basically no percentage of chance of rain until about 5 p.m., and it peaks at 15%. So from 5 p.m. until 2 a.m., we're at about a 15% chance
of
rain.
So we're good to go.
So I think we're good to go.
So
yay.
So we end up, I said, what happened to your team? He says, we need like five guys. Right? And he goes, well, everybody planned their vacation for after the league ended. So every team is scrambling for people. So we end up with Maddie, my two nephews, my brother, me. And so my nephew calls me last night. He goes, well, what if we show up and, you know, we got a pretty good team now. What if we show up and it's like a recreational league and like we win? I go, Tim, nobody's going to look at me and say, there's a ringer.
Can't Matt Howe play?
Yeah, he's playing, but he doesn't really look like a ringer either. He's a good ball player, but I mean, we don't look like ringers, David. I'm just saying.
If anyone does, he does. And he's a great player, but I mean, he's a big guy.
Well, the two guys who look like ringers would be Matt Weber, because he can run in the outfield, and then Big Dan.
Big Dan looks like a ringer.
Yeah, because he's about an eighth-degree black belt. He's a tip-top shape.
He's a big, muscular dude that will either ground out to the pitcher or crush the ball over the left fielder's head.
Yes. One or the other. And
hey, that's what baseball is today. I don't know if you've noticed. Have you noticed how many games have gone over on the total runs? Oh, my God, it's got to be 70%.
Yeah. It's really something. And JD on the Cubs broadcast the other night said, I'm willing to bet that 80% of everyday players set their personal best record for home runs this year. Because
I don't know if it's tightly wound ball or something, but there is something that's happening.
The ball is just flying.
I mean, these games of 11 to 8 and, you know, 15 to 2, I mean, they're commonplace now.
Well, they think they're going to break the all-time home run record by like 500 home runs.
Right.
It's insane.
You had the steroid era in the 90s, and then when they really cleaned up the game, the home runs went down significantly, right? From about 2000 through like 2015, I mean, the leader in home runs was like 35. And all of a sudden, this last 2 years, it's shot way up out of nowhere. So they do think it's the baseballs. But you see more opposite field home runs than ever.
Did you see the one that Rizzo hit on the road a couple weeks ago? He has two strikes on him, and Rizzo chokes up. One comes down the middle. It wasn't even a full swing, and he was choked up. And he put it 20 feet over the center field wall, and the center field wall was like 4'10".
It's crazy.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's go back to the steroid era. Say, for instance, the chief is, you know, I got a committee there, and you guys are on the committee. So we can either do one of two things. We can have people get basically shots in the ass and wherever else they're putting them. In every locker room around, people look like gargantuans, zits on their neck, and all the health problems that go with it. Or we could just put steroids in the baseball, which makes more sense. It makes a lot more sense to put steroid. I mean, what was the big? They had an independent firm, David. They had balls from, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. I guess there's still some around. And they tested the modern ball last year. They said it absolutely is more lively, but they don't know why. It didn't seem to be different materials, didn't seem to be wound tighter, but it just was livelier by a significant amount.
So yeah, I haven't heard of a real explanation yet. I
don't know. It may be totally anecdotal or, you know, poor sources, so I'm not saying this is fact. But I have read two or three stories that swear up and down that the ball's more tightly wound.
That could be.
That would make sense. That's the only thing I can think of.
By the way, Maddie, what you were talking about earlier, Thorn Creek at Glenwood is normally maneuvers along at 3 feet, minding its own business. It's now at 10 feet. And that area...
now it's like a river.
Yeah, now that area out there is so flat that if that thing's flood stage is 7, I'm going to say that extra 3 feet probably goes a mile in each direction. Because it's not like there's big bluffs overlooking that creek. I think if it's up, it just runs. Because it's all so flat there. Just saying. All right, David.
Well, it was interesting. I thought that, you know, they polled a bunch of Democratic-leaning voters before the first presidential debate last night, and by a pretty good margin, like 64% to 55 or something like that, 64% of them, of the people polled, said that climate change was, you know, the most important or second most important, you know, thing that they wanted, you know, a new president to address. And it was heavily stressed, you know, during that 2-hour debate last night. And I would presume tonight's would also feature a lot of commentary on it.
As Maddie and I were debating in the last half hour, and Maddie knows, and I think the listeners know, there is no more strident dude on earth, except maybe Maddie, that doesn't like the ignoring of the Clayton and Sherman Acts, and these companies becoming oligopolies, duopolies, you name it. But I tell you what, changing it is a problem. I mean,
sure.
I mean, we had, and I don't know the geography of Beijing. I've never been to China. I never really want to go. We had a group in here from the agriculture department, and one of the young ladies, very bright, 27 years old. I said, "What's going on over there?" And she said, "Well, there used to be like 6 or 7 rivers, and it went through Beijing, and now there's like 1 or 2. And they just by making cashmere stuff, cashmere goats or whatever, eat the grass down so low that you actually can lose. It can be desert if you don't move them around enough and leave it a chance to go back. Evidently, the desert is encroaching on Beijing by, is it 2 miles?
Well, also their pollution problems that are notorious have infringed on, you know, normal geographic forces to produce typical weather. But, you know, the globe is warming. I don't care what Trump tends to ignore or whatever it is. There's total evidence. 95% of the scientists agree.
But then it gets down to, okay, we got 3 billion people. How many people we got in this world? When it comes down to somebody in Washington,
8 or 9 billion.
Okay, I missed a few billion. What it comes down to is the Democrat versus Republican side of this. The Democrat is they're going to pick people they don't like and say you should stop. And Obama was more than willing to tell you and me to stop driving our car, and he wasn't getting his ass out of Air Force One ever.
Right.
You know, Nancy Pelosi has, what, a 757 to fly back and forth. She's not getting back on a Lear or a prop job. So
she's not taking Amtrak. A Nissan Leaf electrifying it every, 300 miles.
And she doesn't have her fanny on Amtrak. I mean, there's no question this is not happening. So as soon as it gets from, yes, it's a problem, to what are we going to do, which usually means what you are going to do about it, not me. You know,
exactly.
That's where the rub comes in.
I get it. It's all well and good to promise. Please elect me, and then you do your job. But I'm going to go off and do live my life the way I want to because I can.
The only really intelligent thing I've ever heard about it, to be honest with you, and I'd love to have a man, although he retired and doesn't really want to be on. But I suppose I could push him because we've been friends for 50 years. My friend Tom Conway worked for NOAA forever. He did the DC-8 flights over the ozone holes when those were there. But his last few years, they went all around the world with oxygen sensors. And actually, he would say that the global warming, the weather change that we're seeing is probably not all that significant. But the real problem is, for some reason, the oceans don't seem to be able to handle the caprice carbon dioxide as well as land. I mean, land, it just means, you know, the plants eat more, roughly. I mean, it could get worse than that, obviously, but the oceans, if you increase their carbon dioxide level, it's a real problem. I mean, but I said, what could you do tomorrow without telling anybody what not to do? What could you do tomorrow? He goes, that's simple. Let's start planting 2 million trees a year in the U.S.
Yep.
Because nothing gives you more oxygen and eats up carbon dioxide more than new bloom, new
and
stuff.
That's what Israel's done.
Yeah, and why don't we start with something positive instead of pointing a finger at somebody you don't like and say, you stop what you're doing?
I'm not an expert, but just from the little that I've read about it, I think that's a wonderful, wonderful idea and certainly isn't anything that couldn't be done.
I mean, Carl Denninger, Obviously one of our most, I'll go as far as to say brilliant guests. Says, what are we doing? We don't, the reason why we don't want rare earth minerals here is it's a dirty process. That the stuff we mine here, we ship off to China because they don't care how dirty it is. There's money in it, right?
Right.
So all we're doing was we're exporting bad health to other people. What we really should be doing is finding a way to do this stuff at a price at which, they call that an economic externality. I mean, we can burn coal here, but the price should be where it's clean. And there's a price.
Right.
There's a price. The coal plant in Michigan City, next to Lake Michigan, all that exhaust is all scrubbed by water. It's clean, but it costs way more than the one in Pilsen they just torn down.
Sure.
So it's a question of not wanting to pay for it, right? I mean,
No, I get it. And there's we've created this disaster, and I don't mean just us. Certainly China has been, huge. I'm sure India and other places that, care about business but don't care necessarily about the health of their people, and if they live all most of them live in shanties, that's just fine. So it's not just our problem, but we've contributed huge, and it's going to cost to fix it.
Well, I mean, if you drive into Chicago in the morning and you're my age, first thing you should think of is how much better this is than it was. And
right.
I remember somehow I was way up high in one of the Hancock building one morning. The level of crap that was about the 40th floor over the entire city in the morning rush hour, you don't see that anymore.
Right.
I mean, there's pictures. If you get some of these old books, you look at some of these towns in Britain in the countryside with two factories just belching crap out in the air. Remember a coal-fired steam locomotive, how much that thing would belch out?
Oh, God, yes.
There was no filter. There was nothing. Anyway, David, so we're going into a weekend here. I just did a spread yesterday. I've got some people along the SPYs. And I did something, this is why, a lot of what you do with options, to be perfectly blunt, you need somebody like David or me or some of the other people on the show to do it, because it's a somewhat of a complicated product. And the prices maneuver all over the place based on, not random events, based on news events. I was able to, we're talking Thursday, so I didn't have any calls against my stuff, so I bought one of the, next Friday call. It's like $6 or $7 on money, so I'm leaving some room. So even if this weekend goes out great, and we walk in with the S&P's up like 70 points Monday morning, I'm still okay, right? I'm still at the strike. So I give myself like $7 worth of room. I was able to buy one call for next Friday, David, sell two on Monday for a credit. Same strike. That's unbelievable, isn't it? Obviously, because there's going to be some sort of announcement this weekend. Now, people are expecting it to be good. I think most people think that if it's good, we're up 80 spoos. If it's down, if it's lousy, we're down 25. Is, I think, the way the market's handicapping it. I'm not so sure I would handicap it that way, but that's...
No, I wouldn't handicap it that way either.
But would you agree?
I mean, I think that a true agreement or big steps towards is remote. And I think, we're going to 25% on $325 billion. Is remote. I think the odds are in the middle, something like bad case, we're going to put 10% on $325 billion, and good case is we're not going to do anything for now, and talks have been productive, and we're going to proceed forward, and we're not 90% there, we're 95% there. So the problem is that there are more bad outcomes, I think, than good outcomes. The odds of big up versus big down are stronger to the upside, but there's more bad outcomes than good outcomes. So it's really a toss-up.
I don't know how to handicap this one, but I'm starting to get this weird feeling that entering into the mix here, and maybe, I don't know, sometimes I see stuff that other people don't, but it doesn't do me any good much, David. So it's not like it's a big profit margin when you do that. It's entering the fray here a little bit, and entering the handicap process. I think Trump actually likes the money he's getting from the tariffs. I think he'd be, if this didn't settle for another year and he could pull another $50 billion in tariffs, I think he's happy. I think he likes tariffs.
He does. Otherwise, he wouldn't use it.
Well, but I'm saying to the point where he's not all that upset. If I don't think he wants to go into the election without a deal, but I think if he makes it to November and he feels he's got another $30 billion in his back pocket or the government's back pocket, I don't think he's all that upset about it.
He isn't, but there's still a lack of recognition of where those tariffs are coming from.
That's what I'm saying. But his motivation, I think, is in terms of it has to happen tomorrow, next week, or whatever, I can sense a change. I don't think he cares.
Well, and I think also what also empowers him beyond his own ego and that he does like tariffs is, there are even, moderate Democrats who say, hey, look, yeah, the farmers are suffering besides the fact that they're underwater, that China's not buying any soybeans. But, look, they've cheated on WTO since we helped them get in and all these other violations, intellectual property and cyber, war and all this other stuff. And it's maybe not a great tool, but it's a means to an end. So when you get some support across the aisle and you have that ego and you love the tool, then you're going to be stubborn.
What do you make this morning he's firing out at Vietnam for shall we say, misdirecting some of the stuff from China?
I didn't hear the story and I don't know what that means.
Well, I don't know if it's a story yet. It's just a tweet. Or something.
Oh, I don't know what it means. I know Vietnam, which has benefited, from the supply chain movements, which have been substantial, was down the last couple of days while mainland China and Hong Kong equities were up. So maybe that's a reaction. But I don't know what that story means that tweet means.
What do you? How do you handicap or what percentage of? How can I even raise this question? How big of a deal is or should be this Huawei as part of this China deal? I mean, to me, it's got to be in the middle of the table because that's a lot of the issue. What they think those guys are doing, not doing, the amount of patents they have here, whether it's a real
honor. I think there can be some middle ground. There was some signs and touts, at least on CNBC, that not that Trump was willing to give in to Huawei as a part of a deal, but that he would be open to it, especially if there were ways to take these microprocessors and put on some protection against, cyber attacks and, property theft and this and that and the other, and there might be. He might be willing to do that, include that as part of a trade deal, but China is also demanding remove all the tariffs that you have already imposed. You know what? That's not going to happen.
No, I don't think it is either. Well, we only have a minute. They have actually less than a minute. Now, I got Boeing now down 12. I mean, it's really hard to handicap, even on a fundamental level, a company this size. It's going to get pretty much as much.
Yeah, nobody knows what the aftershoots are. I'm friendly to the stock long term. I do own a little bit, and in full disclosure, I think anywhere under 350, it's a buy, and anything towards 400, it's a sell. For the foreseeable future until a lot of this stuff's resolved.
Well, it's almost like a yes or no question. Do you think there's a chance, from my Pullman days, I know how this happens, that they come out and say, by the way, we made a mistake for keeping building 4 of these things a month, and we're going to have to take a one-time hit of like $20 billion or something? Is that a chance?
There's a chance, but I doubt it because we haven't seen, all the class action suits and all these airplanes and these, liners that say, hey, pay us for all our downtime.
All right. Well, thanks, David.
It's going to take a long time.
Well, thank you, man. S&P futures up 775. Now, maybe we can actually sustain a rally today. It'd be nice if we did. We'll be back tomorrow on Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.